Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update podcast for September 22nd, 2023. I am your host, John Lothian. In this podcast, we provide an overview of the content featured in today's John Lothian newsletter. We'll cover insights from the hits and takes section, share stories from the first read section, highlight the top three stories from the previous newsletter edition, and delve into the first three stories featured in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is brought to you by John Lothian News, the proud home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We invite you to explore our extensive collection of trading history videos on the MarketsWiki Education page at johnlothiannews.com. This includes the Open Outcry Traders History Project and the Path to Electronic Trading video series. Thank you for joining us. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. In a keynote address at the World Federation of Exchanges, WFE, General Annual Meeting in Bermuda, CFTC Commissioner Kristen Johnson delivered a thought-provoking speech highlighting the challenges and opportunities presented by the twin peaks of disintermediation and decentralization in the financial markets. Commissioner Johnson began her speech by acknowledging the tumultuous events of the past decade, which included the global financial crisis, the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, and the geopolitical conflicts such as Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Despite these disruptions, she commended the resilience of the markets, attributing their stability to post-financial crisis reforms and the effectiveness of clearing members of central counterparties, CCPs, in meeting rising margin requirements. The commissioner followed her speech by participating in a panel discussion led by Joseph Portelli, executive chairman of the Malta Stock Exchange. Also on the panel was WFE regulator and the always interesting John McPartland of Hidden Road and formerly of the Chicago Federal Reserve Bank. The other two panelists were Moad Fahmy, chief digital officer, senior advisor, supervision, financial technology, Bermuda Monetary Authority, and Guy Melamed, co-founder and CEO, Expiry. William Brodsky, chairman of Cedar Street Asset Management, led an interesting panel that looked at emerging market exchanges and included Ghana Stock Exchange Managing Director Abina Amoa, Kazakhstan Stock Exchange JSC Kaz Chairman of the Management Board Alina Aldam-Bergan, and Latinx, that's the Latin American Stock Exchange, Executive President Olga Cantillo. The diversity of geographies and positions of development of each of the exchanges magnified the point I made yesterday about the importance of this conference to exchanges around the world. Former PhilEx CEO Sandy Fruker was a last-minute addition to the ESG panel, but he made the biggest impact imploring the WFE to get more involved with or without IOSCO's help to promote ESG. For Sandy, it is an issue of leaving a better planet for his grandchildren. Others on the panel were moderator Stock Exchange of Mauritius, Chief Executive Sunil Benimadu, Johannesburg Stock Exchange Group Chief Executive Officer Dr. Leila Fori, SIBO Global Markets Board Member Alex Maturi, and RE2 COO and Head of Structured Finance Ariane West. The last panel of the day was titled How to Ensure Markets Have Integrity, an Ecosystem Approach, and was chaired by Bermuda Stock Exchange President and Chief Executive Officer Gregory Wojciechowski, and who exhausted his wardrobe of different colored Bermuda shorts on the last day with a pair of light blue shorts. Others on the panel included the lawyer Paul Letter, who did two tours with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, Tom Skinner, Managing Director of P-Tool Software, and Eric Knoll, CEO of Stone Ridge Capital and Chair of the Board of FINRA. The conference was concluded yesterday after a video revealed that next year's WFE annual meeting will be in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, with Bursa Malaysia as the host exchange. I know you are all excited about the FIA Expo coming up on October 2nd and 3rd in Chicago. However, it is not too early to also start thinking about FIA Asia 2023 in Singapore. The November 28th to 30th event will be held again at the St. Regis Singapore, a centrally located venue located at the crossroads of the Embassy District, Singapore Botanic Gardens, and the prime shopping district of Orchard. John Lothian News this year will be represented at the conference by Robbie Lothian, USA, my son, who does video work for us at various FIA conferences. This will be his first standalone effort, not only shooting the interviews, but also conducting them as well. I say Robbie Lothian USA because at FIA IDX we had two Robbie Lothians working for JLN, with the Robbie Lothian UK joining the JLN team. You can learn more about FIA Asia and register with the link in today's newsletter. The Financial Times has an updated special report today titled Decarbonization, with the subheading, Many governments and business leaders have made commitments to reduce carbon emissions in response to the 2015 Paris Agreement. The series covers topics surrounding green energy transition. There are three news stories to the special report and others from September 11, 2023. The story titles include Companies Find Carbon Costing Aid Strategic Planning, Improving Energy Efficiency Top of Agenda in Fight for Net Zero, and Decarbonizing Small Businesses, Too Much Demand and Not Enough Supply. The FT has another special report, this one covering Innovative Lawyers Europe. The subheading of the special report outlines the stories, how generative AI is mesmerizing the legal sector, plus 50 innovative law firms ranked top legal practitioners and intrapreneurs. Ukraine takes its fight to the courts, and lawyers act as advisors on finance, climate change, and refugees. Many of the stories revolve around artificial intelligence and its impact, including lawyers face conflicting strategies for adopting AI, law firms tackle hallucinization hurdles to make AI a reality, and generative AI, a legal revolution, is coming eventually. We have a new chairman emeritus, as Rupert Murdoch has stepped down as chairman of his two companies, Fox and News Corp. Perhaps this is starting a new trend among the powerful geriatric set to step down and let a younger generation take power. JLN is getting ready to announce the launch of a new video program, Futures Discovery, hosted by Cortez Draper, a CBOT Clearing Corp Foundation Honor Scholar at Roosevelt University. Futures Discovery will be part of a new video series titled Today's Futures Markets. Another video program I'm developing and will host has the working title of Growing Markets. Growing Markets will focus on all sizes of markets, but ones around the world, both individual contracts as well as exchanges or platforms themselves. There are so many great stories to tell about the exchanges and contracts all around the world that are helping people manage risk or invest in different asset classes. The UNCTAD World Investment Forum is being held October 16th to 20th, 2023 in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates. The biennial forum is a leading gathering to leverage investment policy for sustainable investment. More than 6,000 investment stakeholders from 160 countries are expected to attend, including heads of state and government, ministers, executives of global companies and stock exchanges, and sovereign wealth managers, among others. Learn more and register with the link in today's newsletter. Our most read stories yesterday on JLN Options were Witching Day Price Spikes Point to Options Market Manipulation Study from Risk.net. Cboe Global Markets CEO's exit after board probe stokes talk of sale from the Chicago Sun-Times, and what's behind the 40% rise in VIX option contracts from Benzinga. Here are more stories from the First Read section of today's JLN. The first story is from investing.com. The headline, NASDAQ under scrutiny by Swedish regulator for possible insider trading violations. Sweden's financial market watchdog, the Financial Supervisory Authority, FSA, launched an investigation into NASDAQ on Thursday. The probe aims to determine whether NASDAQ Stockholm breached domestic regulations by failing to report suspected instances of insider trading. The FSA's investigation will focus on potential breaches by NASDAQ Stockholm related to several significant company events that took place in 2021 and 2022. There are strong reasons to initiate an investigation, as NASDAQ is a very important player in the market, the FSA said in a statement. It added that non-functioning surveillance at the main operator poses great risks. My comment. This story is not getting better. Here's another story. This is from the FT. It's a podcast. Well, actually, our Dumb Money movie review. The new movie, Dumb Money, tackles some complicated finance. Does it get it all right? Dumb Money, out this week, stars Seth Rogen, America Ferrera, and several very lucky finance moves. We liked Seth and America, but we definitely have questions about the portrayal of clearinghouses, order flow, and stock dilution. If you've watched Star Wars and wondered how the Millennium Falcon could carry enough fuel to travel at the speed of light, this episode is for you. Also, we are going long Jay Powell and long auto workers. My comment. I asked AI what is dumb money, and it gave me the perfectly logical answer. Dumb money is a colloquial term used in finance and investing to describe individuals or investors who make uninformed or irrational decisions when it comes to managing their investments. Dumb money typically refers to those who lack a deep understanding of financial markets, investment strategies, or risk management. They may make impulsive or emotional investment choices, follow market trends blindly, or fall for investment scams. What it did not say is that dumb money was a bunch of impulsive investors who had the shorts of GameStop on the run. Here are the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story Thursday was the Ed Tilly scandal at the CBOE is bad news for Chicago by the editorial board of the Chicago Tribune. Second was Cboe Global Markets CEO's exit after board probe stokes talk of a sale from the Chicago Sun-Times. Third was NASDAQ Stockholm surveillance officer held in custody after raid from Bloomberg. Here are the top three stories from the lead section from today's JLN. The first story is from the Financial Times. The headline, How Xi Jinping is Taking Control of China's Stock Market by Using Listing and Trading Rules to Direct Capital into Sectors that Fit His Priorities. The president wants the market to serve the state. When Jilin Joinature Polymer made its debut on the Shanghai Stock Exchange on September 20, it became the 200th company to float on China's domestic stock markets this year. Collectively, they have raised over $40 billion, more than double the amount raised on Wall Street and almost half the global total. Yet the country's benchmark CSI 300 index is down 14% since January, having fallen by a fifth in 2022. It has underperformed other major markets such as Japan and the U.S. as worries mount about China's slowing economic growth and a liquidity crisis in the real estate sector. The next story is from Bloomberg. The headline, ex-Tiger Global partner Fixel's VC firm backs AI-linked trading platform OneKronos. Firm put in $30 million, valuing OneKronos at $250 million. OneKronos created an AI-linked trading platform for investors. Lee Fixel's addition led to a funding round in AI-linked trading platform company One Kronos Markets LLC amid a rush of interest in the booming artificial intelligence sector. The ex-Tiger Global Management Partners venture firm invested $30 million of new money, valuing One Kronos at $250 million, according to people familiar with the matter, who asked not to be identified discussing private information. And then here's a story from Bloomberg. The headline, Financial Titans Gear Up to Fight Too Big to Fail Label Threat. Investment firms, hedge funds worry they'll face new oversight. U.S. watchdogs to discuss changes to sci-fi designation on Friday. Financial titans are preparing to do battle with the Biden administration over a plan to make it easier for Washington to deem companies too big to fail, a tag that would spell greater oversight and fresh compliance headaches. U.S. officials led by Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen are seeking to finalize by year's end a new process for giving firms the systemically important label, according to people familiar with the matter. The Financial Stability Oversight Council under Yellen in April proposed making it easier to designate non-bank firms, drawing concern from BlackRock, Inc., Fidelity Investments, Vanguard Group, Inc., and other big players in finance. We appreciate your attentive audience for the John Lothian News Daily Update. Kindly think about sharing our podcast with your friends. Additionally, if you haven't already, we would be grateful if you could take a moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Your reviews aid in introducing our content to new listeners. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can enjoy a complimentary 90-day trial by visiting johnlothiannews.com/trial. Thank you for your support. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.